Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vody isn't the only one.
I grew up in an environment that pounded into my head, other, 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 different, 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 better, superior, inferior. I grew up in a world that pounded that into my head. And I fight to actively renew my mind on this issue.
The issue is racism. This is Wretched Radio. That, of course, was Dr. Vody Baucom speaking on One Blood, helping us have the correct categories. We would like to help the conversation about social justice issues. And I believe a crucial component is to understand where our language and ideas come from, and what categories and words we should be using in this conversation. I believe that there are good brothers and sisters in the social justice movement who have simply adopted too much of the lingo and the ideologies of the world. And one of the words that they have adopted, besides deconstructionism, empowerment, systemic racism, those are all secular terms. Those are not biblical terms. Another term, and part of it could be because of Darwinian evolution, a teaching that there's different, at least classes of people, certainly, but there's black people, there's white people, there are different races. That's not a biblical category. God does talk about and recognize barbarians, Scythians, in other words, nationalities, ethnic groups. But the only thing that the Bible ever says about the subject of race is that there's one human race.
Is there a better way? Of course there is. You know there is. Based on what we find in Genesis chapter 10, and really the whole Bible, that we've been looking at in Genesis 1 through 10.
Okay, God, I just got to stop him right there because I know Ken Ham listens to this show every single day, doesn't miss a single second of the program. And every time the word Genesis is mentioned, he gets a little bit distracted and choked up. So we'll just pause right there. Vody Baucom is going to teach us from the book of Genesis that we need to shun and reject secular terms, labels, and names like races, and instead recognize, there's just one. And it started with a fella named Adam.
Based on the fact that God made the human race from two people, literally. Genesis 1 through 10 is literal. That's our whole premise here.
Amen.
It's not symbolic, it's literal. Adam and Eve were not symbolic people. They were literal people. And all of humanity literally came from these two people. Noah was a literal person. The flood was a literal flood. And when humanity repopulated, it was the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, through whom we derived all the various types of people.
You have a great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. It's either Shem, Ham, or Japheth. That's all. Yeah, that's it. And you've got another great-great-great-great-grandfather. That would be Noah. There would be another great-great-great-great-great-great, and that would be Adam. Because there's only one. God didn't create the world and say, all right, 6 day I'm gonna make man, but different kinds, different types, different races. No, he made one man, and we all come from that one man. And we all can claim that we, therefore, are one in Adam.
Even the non-Christian is one with me in Adam. Amen?
Yeah.
Made in the image of God, from the same stock, of the same stuff. There is less than a 2% genetic difference between any two people on earth. I don't care where you find them.
I suspect white supremacists wouldn't like that idea, but that's just the reality. There's just not radical differences in DNA. Why? Because we're of the same stock. We are one kind.
You go back 5 to 7,000 years, we come from the same set of ancestors. By the way, if we were technically different races, we wouldn't be able to reproduce with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would be different kinds. Huh? And from Genesis 1, we've already learned that everything produces after its own kind. There is one kind.
There are different ethnic groups, but there is one race, and there is, we recognize, we're not colorblind, that's silly. We recognize that there is diversity in that one race.
There is one race, but many nations or ethnicities.
Yep.
God put beautiful diversity within this one race. Amen?
Amen.
We're of one kind, but we're not all the same. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing, and we should celebrate that. And we don't have to homogenize everything and make everything the way that I tend to prefer it. But the only way that we are going to get to that place, now I take that back. One of the ways, but not the ultimate way, that we're going to get to that place is by using correct biblical language. We need to stop using the world's language and call the black race. And I got to tell you something. We recognize there's obviously black people, white people, yellow people, etc. We get that. But to slap a color moniker before any Christian is just wrong. And one of the ways that we can help people understand that is by bringing them back to the Bible and starting in Genesis to teach wrong about the different races business.
And we are all the same color. The difference between lighter colored people and darker colored people is the amount of melanin that you have in your skin. That's why you can have parents who have children, if they have enough of them, they can color a spectrum. Yeah? You get two people who are middle brown, I mean, they can have really, really light children, and they can have really, really dark children.
Indeed. We're just one color. It's just it's a melanin. It's a shading issue. That's all it is. Tell me that wouldn't help people have a potentially to have a different attitude toward people that perhaps they've been thumped, banged, indoctrinated that they are better than. By the way, Charles Darwin, one of the chief racists of all time, he was very racist. He actually thought that white people were indeed better. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're all one, different colors, one race, one kind. And we need to use that biblical language as we have this dialogue, not just amongst ourselves, but also with the world.
I fight hard not to use the term race and instead to talk about ethnicity. Mm-hmm. And here's what I found. It makes people pause. And it is a beautiful opportunity to get into the gospel. They're talking about this and that, and they're saying race this, race that, and I'm saying ethnicity this and ethnicity that, and they just keep that. Eventually, they just kind of give me that look, or they just say, why is it that you keep saying ethnicity? Why is it that you don't like to say race? Ha ha! Because God created the world, and he created human beings, created two human beings, and from those two human beings, all human beings have been derived. And because of that, we are all of one race, even though we have multiple ethnicities. God redeemed us through the person and work of Christ. And now we're even in one man. More than that, more than just one race. We're in one man. We're in one body. You see?
And
now we get to talk about the gospel.
That's right. Exactly. That's ultimately where we want to be. Will it help people to understand that there's only one race, different ethnicities? Stop using the word race. That's Darwinian language. That secular language has no place inside of the church. And help people understand we have one ancestor. Yes, that will help. but that will not convert somebody from being a racist. What do they need? You guessed it. They need the gospel.
We're one in Christ. Galatians 3, 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. No male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Either we believe that or we don't.
Yep.
And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Do we believe that?
Who are you? Now, if you said, well, I'm a student. Wrong. You're not a student if you're in Christ. You're a Christian. You're a Christ one. You're in Christ. So am I. That means we're related. Like that thought or not. You say, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Nope, you're not a stay-at-home mom. You're a Christian, period. You're in Christ. That's your identity. You're not a businessman. You're not a skin color. Not even really a gender. That's not your identity. All gone. Now, God has those classifications for genders, most certainly. He kind of devised the concept. But that's not how we're to be seeing one another. The solution to the racism problem is the gospel and everybody being in Christ with a new identity. This is Wretched Radio. Brilliant. This idea is brilliant. The Master's Academy International, a ministry affiliated with John MacArthur's Master's Seminary, where they teach men to rightly divide and preach the word of truth. Here's their idea. Let's have Master's Seminary graduates overseas in 17 foreign countries bring in local pastors and teach them to rightly divide the word of truth. Hence, the Master's Academy International. Consider the impact on these nations. Pastors learning how to preach rightly, go back to their congregations and feed the sheep well. What an amazing investment we could make. Would you please consider doing that? TMAI.org/wretched. 17 countries. Pick the one you love and support it. TMAI.org/wretched.
Thank you for joining us today. Do appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. I was just taking a wander through the home of all things wretched, as our website, wretched.org, and I am still just a little bit amazed. No, I am. Thank you to our monthly gospel partners for making all that happen. It still just amazes me. I mean, you go to wretched.org, and you will find quite literally thousands of hours of Wretched Radio to download. You know, if your daily dose of 1 hour isn't enough. There's something like 1,500 episodes of Wretched TV available at wretched.org, and with our nifty little search engine, you can find the video episodes that are perfect for what you're interested in. And that's not all. That's barely scratching the surface. I mean, there's Todd and Phil Johnson in the podcast, Too Wretched for Radio. Yeah, it is named that for a reason. There's also the marvelous resources at the Wretched Store and a whole lot more. Wretched.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
You know Paul and Cindy Marty. They are the founders and the runners of the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. Not only did the kids get saved.
We were in the country of Hungary and we were meeting with our country director. His name is Zoltan. And we asked him, Zoltan, how did you come to Christ? And he said, 4 years ago, my wife and I went to a neighboring village where they had a camp. And he said, we heard the gospel and got saved. And he said, our entire village that we were living in were atheists. 4 years ago, this is. And he said, now we're the only two Christians. Our kids have become Christians. And they have a Tomorrow Club with 30 kids. Can you imagine? But there are still fully atheist villages. It's a great white harvest out there.
Indeed there is. Would you like to help with that harvest? Please consider sponsoring a Tomorrow Club. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
The fruit of the Spirit is evidence that God is working in us. Every believer will evidence this fruit. But it is important to remember that bearing fruit is a consequence of salvation, not a requirement for salvation. God is working in us and through us, and He is the source of this fruit, not us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And Joey thought my singing was atrocious. Ow! Okay, I at least appreciate their singing live. That's pretty much the extent of it. This is Wretched Radio. Who are you? Who is your neighbor? Who are we? According to the book of Genesis, we are one race, one people. Different ethnicities, different nationalities, different origins of land, but one ancestor, Adam. That means that we are all one big, happy human family. However, that is not enough for people to drop their attitudes toward people with different skin colors. That requires something more than just knowledge that we share the same DNA, just shades of different melanin. That's it. And that one thing is the gospel. It is the only thing that will fix that attitude. And that is why today, as the social justice movement continues to gather steam, and get ready, this fall there's going to be a slew of books that get launched on the subject. Just a lot of books that are trying to promote secular ideas written by good Christian men. Because I fear that they've adopted the language of the world, and one of those words is racism. We need to lose it and start using the term ethnicities, because that's a biblical category. But only when we are in Christ, one, are we walking in the light. And so the solution to the racism problem, we don't like what we see in our culture, the gospel. We don't like the crime in a particular community, the gospel. We don't like the animosity, the gospel. I think we went through 1 John 1 once already. Nevertheless, it is so worth our time to take a look at 1 John 1. This is another picture. Voddie Baucham, we just heard quoting Galatians 3, that there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male, female, in the eyes of God. We're just one human race. Now, of course, we're still males and females. You can still be American. You can still be Hispanic. But that's not your chief identity. You are in Christ. You're a Christ one. But there's another text of Scripture that I think demonstrates that only by being in Christ will we stop with the division. 1 John 1:1. What we have seen from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. You've got eyewitness accounts of Jesus Christ. They were willing to die for it. Not one of them who witnessed the resurrection recanted. But that's not the point of this text, verse 2. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. What do we see in that text? That Jesus and the Father are one together. That's what guides us through this passage. So now it continues, and we get into the issue of racism. We have declared this to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. If we want to have genuine fellowship, which means that we lose the animosity, we lose the antagonism, we lose the attitude, we must be in fellowship with one another. And the only way to do that is to be in Christ. It continues, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That is the relationship, that is the pattern that we are to follow. Is there racism in the Trinity? Of course not. Is there an attitude of superiority? Of course not. Perfect harmony. And then John continues. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message that we have seen and heard and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, light. Perfect harmony. No darkness at all. Darkness bad. light good. How is John defining the light? Not like a bulb or a flashlight. That God is light. He's unity. He's harmony with himself. And that is the good thing. That is the right light thing. If we say, verse 6, 1 John 1, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do you hear the condemnation for racism? If you've got an attitude, you're not walking in unity. Now, this is unity as brothers and sisters. Remember, we'll never have unity together. We'll never have fellowship with one another until we're transported into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. Once in Christ, then we have fellowship with one another. And if there are attitudes inside of Christendom, we're not talking about the world, we're talking about the church. If there are attitudes inside of the church that are arrogant, we're better than, let's get together with our clique. I prefer me over you, and I prefer my skin color over your skin color. I think I'm better than, all of that has no place. It's a sin. You're not acting like God. You're not being an image bearer of God. You're walking in darkness. Now tell me that isn't more helpful than just, well, everybody needs to repent of systemic racism, even if you didn't know you were being racist. That doesn't help. And that's really one of my critiques of the current manifestation of the social justice movement inside of evangelicalism. None of this helps. All I hear from the social justice side is, let's keep talking. Let's just talk about these things. Let's have a conversation about these things. And there never seems to be an end game. And I believe there's a reason for that. It's because they're not using biblical categories, biblical ideas, and furthermore, I fear that they're following the pattern of the world, which is Gramscian Marxism. Antonio Gramsci was an Italian philosopher in the early 1900s, and he believed that what we need to do to get equality, it's a Marxist idea, it's not exactly Karl Marxian, it's Gramscian Marxism. The idea is that there are oppressed people and oppressors. There are people who have advantages and don't, and we need to change that. How do you do that? Well, you put people into groups, and then you demonstrate that there have been inequalities against that group. Then what happens? Everybody rallies around to help that group. And that's precisely what we've seen in America. You can think Jesse Jackson right now. You can think about all of those men and women, I suppose, who have tried to divide. What happens? It becomes a movement, and there is power and there's money in a movement. That's what the world has done. What's the name of that other charlatan besides Jesse Jackson? Al Sharpton.
Sharpton.
That's his modus operandi. And there's power in that, and there's money in that. But its ideology resembles Gramscian Marxism. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody is being a Marxist intentionally, but they're reflecting those ideas. And those ideas need to be rejected. Because that's not the way to help people. That's a critical race theory approach. Everything is seen through the eyes and the light of oppression. There's the oppressor and there's the oppressed. And we've got to deconstruct it. We've got to tear it down and break down all the social systems. That's not the way the gospel teaches us to help with the issue of racism. Listen to what the Bible says by comparison. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That is the Christian message. That is not even remotely similar to the way the world talks, thinks, or operates. And I know that there are people in the social justice movement, they're trying to say, well, this is a gospel issue. No, it is not a gospel issue, because if this is a gospel issue, then suddenly we've landed on the law and not on grace. Adoption is not a gospel issue. Abortion is not a gospel issue. Sex trafficking is not a gospel issue. Justification, Christology, those are gospel issues. That is the gospel, not these other issues. Now, doesn't mean we don't speak on it. Doesn't mean we don't have things to say about it. We most certainly can. But if our eye is not on persuading people that their only hope for their sin of racism and every other sin is found in Jesus Christ, then we're just being the world. We're an echo chamber for the world system, ideas like postmodernism from pagan French philosophers? What is that doing in this conversation in the church? What are Gramscian Marxism ideas doing, invading the church? Critical race theory, black liberation theology? That lingo is being used a lot. We reject it all. Let's jettison all of that, and let's come together recognizing that we want to help people. But the only way to actually help people is by proclaiming the gospel. And then let the church deal with the issues in their community as they desire to be hands and feet for Jesus Christ. But this does not define the church. In the first century, there was not a social movement. Paul didn't call for an overturning of Rome. It would have derailed the gospel and the mission of the church. He didn't do it in the first century, and we shouldn't do it in the 21st century. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. Deuteronomy means second law. As the Israelites prepared to enter the Promised Land after wandering 40 years, God reminds them of how he rescued them from Egypt, what he commands in his law, and the blessings and curses that come with keeping or breaking his law. God is faithful to provide the inheritance he has promised to his children. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
One more reason to disdain racism. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Vody Baucom preaching on One Blood, giving us a little history of the subject of racism in America specifically, but also among cults.
Listen to this from the Ku Klux Klan, another American group. We believe the white Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, and kindred people to be God's true, literal children of Israel. Only this race fulfills every detail of biblical prophecy and world history concerning Israel and continues in these latter days to be heirs and possessors of the covenants, prophecies, promises, and blessings Yahweh God made to Israel.
Wow. Did you know that? About the KKK, that supposedly the white race is biblical prophecy. I'm not even sure that they could get some sort of a program on TBN with that kind of end times teaching. That's stretched even more than the other people that they have on there telling you when the end is coming and what the book of Revelation teaches us about the end. You think the KKK could make it on a...
Might still get there.
Yeah. An end times ministry?
Guess what? Black nationalist groups like the Nation of Islam make the exact same argument about black people.
Mm-hmm. That is some of the history of racism in America. But there's other groups, cults also, that are very racist.
Bruce McConkie, a Mormon apostle. We know the circumstance under which the posterity of Cain and later of Ham were cursed with what we call Negroid racial characteristics. And for a lot of the cults, and for other non-cultic groups, this became the basis for the mistreatment of people of color and the belief that we are not all of one race. It's the curse of Ham.
And it is on black people, and that is why they could not be, black people could not be leaders in the Mormon church. That is from Mormonism, their version of racism, which apparently God changed his mind about the races and decided, well, now I'm thinking everybody is equal to no matter what their skin color is, because God used to be racist, but now he's not, at least in the Mormon church. But the Mormons, the KKK, the black nationalists, they're not the only ones who are racist.
The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower. July 24th, 1929. The curse that Noah pronounced upon Canaan was the origin of the black race.
Did you know that about those nice people who ring your doorbell? More than we ring people's doorbells.
The Nation of Islam. Because it goes the other way. This is from Elijah Muhammad, one of the founders of the Nation of Islam.
Hold on. That needs to be repeated right there. Did you catch that quick little quip that Vodi Baucom just threw out?
The Nation of Islam. Because it goes the other way.
Nah, not according to a lot of people.
The founders of the Nation of Islam.
A lot of people would say, no. It's only the oppressors who can be racist toward the oppressed. The oppressed people can't be racist. That's not biblical either, is it? It does go both ways. Why? It's a sin issue.
The origin of all sin, the origin of murder, the origin of lying are deceptions originating with the creators of evil and injustice, the white race. Even today, they like climbing and jumping. The monkeys are from them. Before their time, there were no such things as monkeys, apes, and swine. Yes, it goes both ways.
It most certainly does. Racism, it's such a... You'd expect it from the cults. Why wouldn't this be in the cults? Of course it's in the cults. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, so why would they not have anti-color attitudes?
Unless you think that this only happens with those who are outside the church.
Uh-oh.
There have been times in history when this has happened inside the church.
Uh-oh.
The Southern Baptist Convention.
Uh-oh.
43,000 churches plus. You ever wonder why they call Southern Baptist? Because in 1845, there was a split over the issue of slaveholding missionaries at the convention. And because of that split, those who were pro-slavery went in one direction and those who were not went another. The pro-slavery group was the Southern Baptist Convention.
Mm.
As late as 1968, a survey found that 11%, only 11% of Southern Baptist churches would admit black members.
Mm.
There was an apology issued in 1995 on the 150th anniversary of the founding.
Can leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention apologize for that? Yes, but not because of their sins. They could say, as a representative of this denomination, historically there were people who sinned against you. Please notice I didn't say the Southern Baptist Convention sinned against you, because a Southern Baptist Convention can't sin. It's not a human. Only humans can. So for all of those Southern Baptists, I am so sorry. We've changed our ways. Here's our direction. They can say that, but don't demand that all of us repent of coming from a racist church, or even people who are in Southern Baptist churches, if they weren't racist. Remember, Ezekiel gives us our cue. Yes, you will be punished for the sins of your father, but only if you continue in the sins of your father. In other words, you're going to be punished for your sins, the same ones that your father committed. But if you've repented, then you do not have culpability in the sins of your father. So we need to be very careful with this whole concept of repenting as a group. For whom? Biblically, New Testament-wise, we repent for our own sins, not for the sins of everybody else.
Fundamentalists had their issues. John Rice, in 1956, John Rice, the founder of Sword of the Lord magazine, popular all over the world. Socially, it is better for both Negroes and whites to run with their own kind and intermarry with their own kind. The mixing of races widely differing is almost never wise. Thus, if a girl would do wrong to marry a Negro boy, she would be wrong to keep company with him, mixing regularly with him in social life.
That was fundamentalists. I love my Southern Baptist brothers and sisters. I love my fundamentalist brothers and sisters. But there was a history of racism. That should be the history of the world. Most certainly not the church. Now, if you're thinking, well, those aren't my circles. I run in more conservative circles.
The Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa. Apartheid. Again, this came from people on the inside of the camp. People in the reform part of the camp. These are not fundamentalists. These are people in the reform side of the camp.
It just should not be. Where did they go wrong?
The Disreformed didn't go the curse of Cain route. They had a different philosophy built on these three principles. Number one, the Bible teaches that the differences between races are as fundamental as the unity of humanity. redemption in Christ, and the restoration of humanity in him. Number two, the story of the Tower of Babel teaches that God's will is seen in the division of the people into separate communities. And number three, Paul's speech to the Athenians forms another ingredient. It hinges on Paul's statement that God defined the borders of their habitation.
Yes, he did. That's why we have nations, but not different races. Ah, how could we blow it? Oh, it's still a mystery to me. And before getting some sort of anachronistic time confusion arrogance,
anachronistic.
Exactly what I said, arrogance, chronological snobbery. How could those people in those Dutch Reform circles be so racist? Well, how is it that Southern Baptists could be racist? How is it that people, I'll never forget this. This was up in Hermitage outside of Nashville. Well worth the effort. If you're in Nashville, go do that tour. It is really quite extraordinary. And I remember vividly sitting in the back room, the parlor, as the guide explained, this is the room where every day Andrew Jackson, a Calvinistic Presbyterian, would lead his family in Bible study. And if you turned around and looked out the very windows of the room you're sitting in, you could see the slave quarters. What? How does that happen? Well, I think culture can infect us more than we think. And they adopted worldly ideas. They adopted sinful ideas. I'll let them do repentant for themselves. I want to repent for my sins if I have that attitude. Another reason to not be just kind of about racism, it has bad company, the cults. It has a bad history. It has a bad outcome. And it comes from bad categories, from bad ideologies. For all of those reasons, of course, we reject racism, but we also reject the secular humanist approach to finding an external mechanism for an internal problem that we know only the gospel can take care of. People don't need a different society. They need a new heart. This is Wretched Radio. Please meet Darby, a young lady who made a mistake, found herself pregnant, was considering abortion until she saw an ultrasound. Meet Darby and her baby.
I just can't imagine not having him here with me today. And what I would be doing if he wasn't in my life right now, I think I'd be very lost and wondering. This November, where was my baby?
She doesn't have to wonder because she's holding her newborn child, thrilled to pieces she chose life. Let's not forget about the joy when women see their babies in an ultrasound, deliver their babies. It brings them and us joy. $28 an ultrasound does the trick. Please consider doing as many as you can at preborn.org/wretched. preborn.org/wretched.
Vision statements are all the rage these days, and because Wretched is so into trendy things, we decided to write one for ourselves. And we came up with this. Wretched exists to reach millions of lost souls with the life-changing gospel of Jesus through culturally compelling, biblically sound, gospel-centered productions. Now, if you share that vision, we would truly like to ask you to consider partnering with us in this endeavor with your ongoing monthly tax-deductible support. So would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner today? Visit wretched.org/donate for details. wretched.org/donate. And if you prefer to speak to an actual human being, call 678-585-4719 and speak with Al, who's a lot like an actual human being. 678-585-4719. And thank you for partnering with us in the gospel. Wretched, amazing grace.
Guess. Go ahead and guess how many spoken languages there are on the continent of Africa. If you said 2,100, you're exactly correct. But the Bible is only printed in about 300 of those languages. Bible League International determined to change that. It is a very laborious task. It is very difficult, but they are determined to get the living word into the hands of believers in Africa. And there is much work that goes into it. Regularly, they have to go into these villages to actually teach them the printed word. Sometimes they need to actually create a printed word for them to learn reading so that they can read the Bible in their own language. Lots of work to be done, but much hope. For just $5 a Bible, you can send a Bible to Africa. Would you please consider doing that? As many as you can. Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And here we go.
It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh. This is Wretched Radio. You can contact us 2 ways here at Wretched Radio. You can send an email, idea@wretched.org, or you can always beep talk the old toll-free number.
1-877-282-BEEP. 1-877-282-BEEP.
I was texting last night with Jeremy Volo. Do you know him? He's pastoring in Laredo. He is a former soccer player. I think he's currently attending Master's Seminary. He's married to Ginger Duggar. They just had their first baby, Felicity. I was congratulating him on the baby. Absolutely adorable. And encouraging him, you know, giving him some of that unsolicited advice that every new parent really appreciates so much. I said, Dad, just drink in every moment. You will look back on this season and go, oh, those were sweet days, hard days, laborious days, but sweet times with your little baby girl. Felicity is her name. So I encouraged him, if you ever have the choice between your cell phone and Felicity, take her every time.
Every time.
Every single time. Put that stupid thing down and give attention to your child. I got to tell you, this so gets my goat. I was just in, did I mention I was in Greenville, South Carolina?
Heard that
at any
somewhere.
Point this week? Yeah. Stopped at a place called Strosner's. It's a bakery. Cakes, things like, Todd, we know what a bakery is. Okay, so there's this guy. And he's on his cell phone standing there whilst the missus is taking care of 2 of the kids and the bakery ordering, totally detached, on his gizmo. This was a Saturday morning. What do you got going on Saturday morning? Really? Now, could it be? Yes. He was cutting a big deal. Yes. He was getting information about the funeral of his great aunt Matilda. It's a possibility. I just don't think so. Dad. 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 Dad, 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 Dad. What, honey? Dad, I want to, can I get one of those? Talk to your mother. Back to the phone he goes. Dad, 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 Dad. Oh, answer the child. Put down that stupid box that so controls us. Wow, it's got a hold of us. It's got a hold of me, too, so I'm not trying to shun you. I'm just, we've got a big problem with these dumb cell phones of ours that are there to be tools. Today I'm driving. I had a sin battle today. I'm driving and I pull up next to a car and I see this kid and he is just on his texter machine. It's against the law now in Georgia to do that. It's the hands-free law. Don't even touch the thing. Don't have it in your lap. Separate. And there he is. And I'm like, oh, bang. So I just like honked at him, gave him the look like, hello, cell phone, driving, big heavy piece of metal. Oh, he showed me all kinds of interesting digits.
You know, I really encourage people to not text while they drive. I can do it because I know what I'm doing. I can do it.
Oh, if I've got this, and this is important because it's me that we're talking about. I get it. I know the temptation. I have succumbed. I've given in to that temptation. I admit that. And as soon as I honked, I went, uh-oh, Freely, you don't want to be judged by the standard. You are judging him. Because I'd occasionally be in a bit of trouble. That was not a confession. I'm just talking, you know, philosophically abstract, about such things. And I was watching another fellow then, driving, looking at the phone, couldn't put the thing down. Then I see a guy, he's about to cross the street, and he's got his cell phone, and it's a busy intersection. He's got the cell phone going. He looks up to check the light. No, it hasn't changed. So he goes back to twiddle, twiddle, diddle, checks the light, nothing, twiddle, twiddle, diddle. Then he checks the light. Oh, he's got it. So he starts walking across the street. Before he put his second foot down on the pavement off the curb, he's back to the box, twiddle, twiddle, diddle. That thing has a hold of us. Dad, put it down. Give your wife attention. You know what? I blew this last night. I admit it. I even when I was texting Jeremy, I was neglecting the time that I could have been with my wife. I get it. We can use the machine. That's why it exists. It doesn't always have to be every single second, spouse and kids. I get that. But we need to guard our homes and our hearts. I think we're raising up a generation of kids who are like, my dad, more interested in his cell phone. How many times did you hear that before when it was something like alcohol? My dad loved the bottle more than he loved his own kids. Yeah, that was my pop. And I wonder how many kids these days are feeling the exact same way because dad is just too distracted with the twiddle, twiddle, diddle machine. Idea at wretched.org. Thank you. I feel better now.
Good.
Put down the phone. Do you remember earlier this week we shared a clip from Adrian Rogers? I heard from a lot of people who loved Adrian Rogers. He was I liked watching his sermons. There are many times when I'm flipping by the channels and I would catch some Christian TV, it's like, oh, you know, it's the prosperity stuff. It's the nonsense. Adrian Rogers would pop up on whatever channel and it's like, I'm in. Okay, I've got one critique of Adrian Rogers. His pants were usually too short. And as had somebody with CDO, which is the correct way to have obsessive compulsive disorder, CDO, other than that. Magnificent preacher. Just preach the gospel, commanding, captivating. And he was talking about an encounter that he had in Romania with a fellow named Joseph San, who told him that Americans are too consumed with committing but not too submitting. Radical difference. Now, this came in from several people who informed me about this. Oh, another one bites the dust. I thought you might find it interesting that Joseph San, whom Adrian is quoting many years ago, is known by Romanian repenters as a fallen pastor. That's just great. He slipped off the slope. Another one bites the dust. Don't be discouraged by that. Don't be discouraged. I realize it is discouraging and it can be a bit disheartening, but don't forget, Jesus warned us about this. False teachers, they always come up from inside of the church. They act like they're among us, but then time, sin, temptation reveals that they're not actually among us. Don't be discouraged. It's going to keep happening. Keep trusting your pastor. Just be wise. And try to help your pastor, too. We're going to police you kind of way, but help him to be accountable. Make sure that he doesn't have so much free time that he can be running off, or unaccountable time that he can be running off and falling into sin, or diving, or swimming. Todd, I recently moved away from my home church to attend seminary. I started attending as the church was planted and was thrilled to find that the church preached the word expositionally and preached the biblical gospel. A gem of a find indeed. Founders.org will help you find a church like that. I eventually came on staff and started to see the NAR ideologies creeping in, New Apostolic Reformation ideologies creeping in. I began to study and realize the truth. Okay, so he recognizes that it's really bad. The pastor who was my mentor preached this Sunday on John 10 saying, the prime application is to seek Jesus' voice outside of Scripture. You know, my sheep hear my voice, they know me. We've been through that verse so many times. No, it's about people who hear Jesus preaching and either believe or don't believe. They hear his voice, they respond or they don't. It's not about getting extra biblical revelation. Any advice on how to handle this personally? Yeah, if that's what they're doing, then you got to find yourself a biblical church where they preach the word of God. Hey.
Uh-oh.
I just had a thought.
Here it comes. Here we go.
This NAR business and the prosperity gospel, it is insidious, and it is moving so fast all over the globe. Please consider supporting TMAI.org/wretched, the Masters Academy International. These are master seminary grads who teach indigenous, the national pastors, how to preach expositionally, how to guard against false teaching. And the multiplication on this is so smart. You train a pastor in Peru or in Italy or in Finland, wherever it happens to be. They bring it to the congregation. Consider the effect of that. It's a magnificent ministry. Of course it is. It's a master's seminary ministry. You can find out more at tmai.org/wretched. And please remember, when it comes to false teachers, three motivations according to 2 Peter. It's either going to be power, it is going to be fame, and money. That's the power. Power and fame go together. Money or, no surprise, sex. And that's why when we see these guys falls, it just doesn't surprise us, because the Bible was clear it was going to happen. It doesn't make us jump for joy, but it shouldn't discourage us either. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.